Everybody, welcome to today's meeting of the Regulatory Committee, 31st of January. I don't think we have any apologies. Councillor Brown is back. There's no leave of absence, attendance, directors, and so forth. Confirmation of the agenda. I'll take the agenda as agreed. Any conflicts of interest? If not, we'll carry on. No public forum presentations, confirmation of the minutes. The only comment I'll make in relation to the minutes is that on the previous committee, the committee did agree through a process for the council to pursue a meeting with ECAN to discuss wallabies and other matters, and that is for both councillors and staff, and with the agreement of the committee, I'd like that to be included in the minutes, in the approval of the minutes. I'm happy to move that. Do we have a seconder for that?
Seconder.
We have a seconder, Councillor Noon. I'll put that addition, and with the minutes, those four.
Aye.
Aye against. Carried. Okay, so actions.
Abstain. I didn't hear any of that.
Okay. So, sorry, Councillor Lawton, we're simply just moving the minutes, and we've also included the fact that the committee agreed for the council to pursue a meeting with ECAN to discuss wallabies and other matters, and that's for both councillors and staff. Did you hear that, Ella?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So actions, right, no actions. We can talk about ECAN in due course, Scott, yeah, in the future. Okay, so the first report is the governance report by Scott McLean, describing a regulatory activity in the last period. There's various matters there. Low flows. The Kyburn Group initiated voluntary rostering of water takes early in December. The Maniatoto Irrigation Company undertook the initiative of releasing more water, so there's some positive action there. Well done, that we could maybe talk about. Predator free. The Queensland and Wanaka community groups are undertaking some structured and strategic work. Mycoplasma bovis, there's been quite a bit of articles in the ODT, for example, editorial. The situation continues to evolve. I'd be interested to know, you know, are the implications for the OSC changing? Rabbits, there's an update there on the K5 project approval. If the decision is favourable, a nationwide release will occur April 2018, a coordinated one. Wallaby activity. So in due course, we'll be liaising with ECAN and Councillor Wood, the chair. You have been writing, well, you are to write regarding.
I drafted a letter that Mr. McLean has had a look at, and we got lost in, between the two of us over.
Okay, but you'll be on to that, yeah?
Oh.
Yeah?
Correct.
And compliance activity, there were 39 dairy effluent inspections on properties with risk rankings of 2 and 3, which have been conducted. And there has been some good work there. Fresh water biosecurity and regional pest management review. When Councillor Noon, we have a draft list of possible species and programs for pest management plan for Otago. For approval, there it is. I'll open it up. Who wants to talk about any of those matters?
I suppose,
Mr.
Chairman, the responsible attitude of the water users should be noted, and ORC should be saying, well done.
Okay. John?
We've got a draft media release today going out on that. Yep. We've continuously reinforced how impressed we've been, particularly using North Tyree as an example of responsible use of water.
And I would hope that councillor's commendation would be noted in that as well. Thank you.
Sounds good. And there's a bit of arm bending too, Mr. McLean, yeah?
Through the chair, I was invited to discuss compliance options available to council. And that was well received by the Kyburn group.
Good. Well done. Councillor Ho.
Thank you. Through the chair.
Please all remember to speak into the microphone. I think you've moved and sounds not good again.
Sorry.
4.1, the Mycoplasma bovis. Just wanted to ask, is it possible? I had a chat one day with Richard Lord when we had our pest meeting, and he talked about how the fact he was one of those people that had to go as first response. And it was absolutely really interesting what he said. And I would like to know, please, may we might be able to nab him one day and have a workshop, let him present to us what he saw, what he found. Sometimes you do get asked something about it and you can be put on the spot, and I felt quite uncomfortable being asked about that, not knowing very much. And he just seemed very helpful. He'd been there, he explained to what happened, the process they had to go through, and I just think that would be helpful, especially as there are more and more properties being red flagged for it. Would we be able to do that through the chair, Mr. McLean?
Yes, certainly through the chair. And what I might actually add to that is the role that we play in the National Biosecurity Response Capability Network. Yes. So that's quite an important function of the council. So yeah, I can certainly wrap that into a report and bring it back.
Yeah. Thank you, Councillor Hope. I was actually asked what caused it, and that actually made me stop from the tracks and have a think about the answer. Councillor Bell.
Yes, through you, Mr. Chairman. With the release of the K5 potentially in April, have we got some sort of way we're going to notify everybody how that's going to happen and who's getting it and who's not getting it and whatever, however it's going to happen.
Yep. Through the chair, yep, there's a nationally agreed communications package which we will Otago-fy, and we have a release strategy drawn up in terms of locations, doses. So we're getting about a third of the doses that are coming into the country for Otago, and we've identified quite a number of priority sites. It's based on science and distance apart to create an epidemic. There's been a lot of science go into the optimal places. So that's part of the reason that we've agreed to fund it, is so we can retain control, because everyone wants a dose. And in reality, the country is getting 350 doses, and we're getting it's over 100, but we've got 100 ready to go, pending approval.
We already have.
Yeah, the manufacturer in Australia has prepared enough for New Zealand, pending approval to import.
Okay. Councillor Brown.
I just wondered how confident are the applicants that this is going to happen?
We are reasonably confident. It's my personal view that the virus will arrive, so it's better to arrive in a controlled manner. The decision's in the hands of central government at the moment, and a decision will be released by the end of February.
By the end of the
February. They have to release the decision within the 70-day period.
And this is MPI?
Correct.
Can I ask a corollary of that then, please?
Sure.
As Graham and Ella will also attest to, and anybody else in Central recently, there's been an explosion of rabbits just because of the conditions. I mean, this is ideal stuff for them, and we've observed it for ourselves, and there's a great deal of agitation.
Can you please speak up?
There's a great deal of agitation. Can you hear me better, Ella?
No, it's really broken up.
Okay, that's probably not in my control now. There's a great deal of agitation in Central about the proliferation of rabbits. I guess the question is on everybody's, is there's still uncertainty over whether or not the virus will be approved. So that's the first thing. But the second thing is 100 doses, or just slightly over 100 doses, enough? Because that seems a bit light to me. Given that you're going to be doing a region, it's not just Central Otago. What's your assessment?
Through the chair, Landcare Research have worked extensively on this over the last 7 years. So part of the application process, they had to submit all of their research and data. So that was a 700-page document, and they have worked out the optimal distances apart to create an epidemic and the optimal time to release. So that's that involves the amount of fly activity, a slightly lower temperature than the height of summer, so it doesn't degrade the virus. So it's based almost entirely on the science behind it, so it's not a haphazard thing.
Right.
The science actually tells us that probably fewer than 100 would be needed in Otago, we've gone in with 100. And that will allow us to do sites, the likes of Moeraki, pretty quickly, whereas it might take a little while for the virus to actually reach places like that. So that'll help those smaller communities, Naseby being another example.
So if you're expecting a decision from MPI at the end of February, Ella, when would you be expecting the release in the Otago region?
April.
April the end of April?
Oh.
And will there be a communications program, Sean, that goes with it? Will there be a comms program that goes with that?
Through the chair, yep. There's so much interest in this topic that we have to get our...
Can we get a copy of the communication strategy for the next council meeting, please? Because we're dealing with, obviously, a fair bit of education now, so it'd be useful to be able to share that information with the communities now as to progress.
Yeah, well, I mean, at our next committee... the decision has been made.
No. At next council meeting, if we can get that communication strategy from National Communication...
That's the question, Sean. Is it a reasonable request, or...?
Through the chair, I'd need to talk to Suzanne Watt, but I don't see a problem with that.
Okay. You'll endeavour. Yeah. Okay. Any other matters? If not, the recommendation report being received...
Oh, wait on. Yes. No, there is one thing. Is the Queensland Lakes District Council.
Next one.
Thanks.
I'm happy. No, who would like to move?
We'll move.
Councillor Neil. We have a seconder. Councillor Brown. Put the motion. Those for.
Aye.
Against. Carried. Thank you. Okay, so the next report is Environmental Enforcement Action, written by Peter Kelleher, Legal Counsel. And in this report, it has various complaint responses. For example, infringement notices. There were four situations over the last period disturbing the bed of a river mechanical excavation, and there was one in relation to discharge of contaminants to land in a manner where it may enter water. And ultimately, the recommendation that this report be received. Also in this period, look, you know, we've all seen some email traffic in relation to the QALDC situation and the Bendigo situation. In relation to the Bendigo situation, that's going through a legal process, so I'd appreciate if we just park that one and we'll get an update at some point, I suspect.
Yes.
Councillor Laws, you've raised the QALDC where it's now public information, and I've got a copy of it here. It was very significant discharge. In fact, Scott, it may have been the largest, you know, infringement discharge in a certainly up there, yeah?
Through the chair, certainly the largest one I'm aware of.
Yeah. Anyway, there was certainly some hesitation. It didn't immediately come to press, and there were issues and questions from that. Councillor Laws, you had raised some matters. Do you want to talk to it?
Well, I was expecting a report here, actually. So I'm a bit disappointed we don't have it. I asked for it at the committee chairs meeting last week. Was it
a report
on that decision? We asked, the questions were, what are the policy principles of the ORC when it comes to prosecuting?
Yeah.
I've got here I've got here a copy of the full judgment of the... This comes from a district court. I think it would be useful, frankly, if all councillors had a copy of this. It's not very big, it's about 7 pages. And in it notes that there are policy principles that drive the ORC when it comes to deciding. There is no dispute between the council as to the principles which I must apply in undertaking the sentencing. They are set out in paragraphs 2 to 7 of the regional council's submissions, and I concur with that summary. So therefore they are persuasive for the court. I just think it'd be useful for us all to know what those policy principles are and how they then influence us going forward in terms of policy and principle and whether or not we're prosecuting or not.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe the outcome from this committee meeting, quite simply, is to ask for a report, one, on the principles, and two, on the policies for communicating OSC enforcement actions.
Right. The second thing that comes out of this, colleagues, is that you didn't know that this had happened, and neither did I. So first you would have read about it in many cases, well, when you read about it, it's like Brian's got the media version of it there. This was decided on 6th of December last year. Now, given the judgment was on the 6th of December, I would have expected to know well before Christmas what that outcome was and have been informed, you know, fairly quickly. It wasn't until I attended the committee chairs meeting last, was it last Wednesday, Stephen?
Tuesday.
Last Tuesday, that I understood that there even was an outcome. So that's what, a long time afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, this is a bit of a background. I mean, this is not the first time that the issue of communication has been discussed. It was generally, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is it was that the previous council had felt comfortable on the basis that prosecutions and so forth would be communicated via the media. So in due course, fair process occurred, and instead of the person being prosecuted getting hit by the media, then hit again by the ORC at committee, they left that process. But certainly, it does seem to me that there's some potential gaps. And I the first was, in this instance, you know, why was there the time difference? Secondly, things like infringements, things like diversions, you know, the governance team is not aware, and the governance team can't actually even learn in terms of shaping their future policy about how it's tracking. So Councillor, anybody else? Are you finished, Councillor?
No, I just want to get some policy going forward.
Yeah.
I'm not here to somebody else. Yeah. I'm just trying to get some policy going forward. It would seem to me that, I mean, I would be urging this council to say, particularly where there are larger corporate bodies who have responsibilities, territorial authorities, government departments and the like, that you don't draw the sting at all. That in actual fact, if anything, you make an example of them because they should know better. And that you therefore create in the wider community a perception that they're not going to be treated differently. When you're going to prosecute, say, a dairy farmer for effluent disposal or something like that. So it's really important. The second is these people should know better. OLCD should know better, so should LINS, and so should a large number of other government departments if they're caught to be in breach of resource consents or are polluting our environment and waterways, as is the case in this case. Secondly, I'm a bit concerned about the information that I'm given as a governance person. I understand this was a previous chief executive, but there was a real reluctance to provide this governance team with information around this event, and I had to push to get what I think is normal communication. And I just think that we should be a little bit upfront and proactive on this. Thirdly, let's learn the lesson. For God's sake, stop relying upon the media to communicate your messages. You know, who took this prosecution? We did. We weren't a witness, we actually took the prosecution. We are responsible for the process and we're responsible for the outcome. Therefore, we're responsible for the communication of that outcome. This should have been on the 6th of December, the 7th of December, whenever this court case is, it's the 6th of December here. There should have been a release out saying, we prosecuted, it was found X, and this was the result of that. The next issue is, and I only discovered this, again, committee chairs, and it was by way of conversation, so it's not authoritative, but there is a suggestion that the prosecution of this particular case cost more than the fine. Okay, so the fine was $37,500, is that right, Stephen?
Yes, that was $37,500, although the court keeps 10% of that.
Sorry?
The court keeps 10%. Council doesn't get the full 37.5.
Wow. So there's a suggestion that actually even prosecuting that was going to cost the money. Now what I really was interested in was costs. There were no costs awarded. Now, you see, I'm thinking that's really weird. Did we apply for costs? Or is it because we were the prosecutor and adopted in-house counsel that we couldn't retain our costs? So what is... And so we've already... It's gone public now. with a group from Glenorchy saying, oh, listen, give us the money. You know, we can spend it. And there'll be plenty of people who'll be saying exactly the same thing. But I do think it'd be useful for us to say, these are the costs of the prosecutions, have that out and deal with. And being applied for the full restitution, or at least applying for the full restitution of legal costs. I don't know if we apply for the full restitution of legal costs. But it's really odd that we didn't, having won the case.
Okay. Mr. Donnelly, can I ask that question? As a matter of, do we know what the cost was?
I've got a rough estimate, but one of the things was that when this came up at Chairs, with the complexity around this, the discussion was that all of these questions that have been asked around the policy decision, around how costs should be applied, around our communications, both internal to you and external to the public, you know, as in media releases, we said that obviously we need more time than pulling that together last week. And it shouldn't just be done in the context of solely QLDC.
Agreed.
Because during this triennium, there's actually been 16 prosecutions. So it would be nice to look at the history of what happened with all of those. And part of that was around the cost analysis. And we said that it would be better if we could bring a paper back to a future committee with all of those aspects fully analysed and summarised for council to have an informed discussion on.
Okay.
So that's where we left it. And I could hypothesize or guess at what the exact number was, but I don't think that's going to be of any benefit to do that today. I think it would be better to look at it properly and fully analysed at a future date.
No, that's good. So you're proposing an overarching report, but in that report it would also, one of the factors you'd talk about may be potential policy for communicating OSC enforcement in the future?
Yep.
Okay, and I'll ask Sarah if she wishes to
comment. Thank you. I suppose what I would say is obviously I'm not fully across the detail of this and I would like to be. And I support Nick's recommendation that we come back to you with a report. I think that way we can give you all of the detail that you're seeking in a much more concise and accurate way than perhaps you would do that today. I think, I've been involved in a number of organisations who have done prosecutions and there are a number of different approaches. So I think it's a matter of, looking at what we have now and having a level of comfort around it. Of course, a lot of the nervousness in councils, and certainly I'm sure some of you would be aware of this, but Horizons Regional Council had some difficulties maybe 5 or 6 years ago around the sort of mix between governance and the executive and the way decisions were made around prosecutions. And I think we can certainly learn from that experience, and I suspect that's where some of the sensitivity comes from. But certainly, let's bring a paper back and have a proper discussion about it then. And, fully can understand that there was a delay in being aware of the decision. So, I take that on board.
Thank you very much. And before I go to Councillor Woodhead, I mean, this council, I'm reasonably confident we do the basic, we get the basics right. There's, governance is 100% separated from prosecution process. But nevertheless, the QLDC situation and these situations we're talking about is basically as they go into the public arena. And, are we communicated to, or are we just sort of, and to me it's one of courtesy in terms of fulfilling our role. But secondly, ideally we're learning as in our governance just about the successes and otherwise.
Yeah, Mr. Donnelly answered much of what I was going to say. We did have a briefing on our compliance process at the start of the triennium. I think we need to run through that again as a reminder for us all. So we understand the various stages of it and the processes internally, just a bit of a reminder now. That might be more appropriate at a workshop rather than a paper at a committee.
I think this overarching, the communications, the formal report's required.
Not
in the workshop.
It needs to be in.
Yeah,
I agree.
Right, that's fine. And but there's internal processes and how they all work. It's all clearly there and easy.
Sure.
So, and I mean, It's not actually an agenda item, so let's note that and get going.
No, I as the chair raised it, and I have that prerogative as the chair. Yeah. Scott?
Through the chair, I'll just note that most times, except in the QLDC situation, media court reporters are there, and within minutes of a judgment being made, it's online in the media. Often it'll be online before I hear about it or the chief executive hears about it. So because they don't wait for the judge to go through the thing, they'll wait for the judgment, put it on, and then do a fuller report at a later date, maybe that same day. So in this case, there was no media present for the QLDC hearing. So fair point, and I think if we draft a policy around that for council consideration. But just a note, the court reporters get things online very, very instantaneously.
Okay. Yeah.
Can I make a comment to that? Because I then went and approached the media, because I heard that too. So I went and approached the media last week, and I said, why weren't you there? You know, because it was basic, and I understood the impact. And this is worth feeding into the situation, because this is where I'm going to say, particularly to Sian, but to everybody here, if we're relying upon the media, you've got to be joking. The response from them was, one of them, this is Fairfax Media, said, and there are only two major news media organisations in New Zealand, NZME and Fairfax. There's the electronic media as well, but forget about them, they're North Island based. TVNZ doesn't even have a stringer here now at the moment. The reality is that Fairfax said, we haven't got staff. We don't cover court stuff anymore unless we have got free staff.
Okay.
So, and that's the other thing here, that they are not covering what they used to cover, which again means that we've got to be proactive in taking the lead, I think, on these issues, rather than relying upon third parties to do our job for us.
Okay, I think Councillor Robinson?
Just wanted to say that the council has previously had a discussion on the policy around this, and it isn't about waiting for the media to do our job for us in reporting this. It was deliberately decided that once we hand over into the realm of the courts the matter, it's then their matter to determine how it's dealt with, not ours. So we deliberately chose not to.
Yeah.
Yeah, not wait for the media to...
Yeah, and I think what ideally this report will raise is whether a feedback loop is appropriate and the positives and negatives. And I think this highlighted, you know, one example. Another example is things like diversions. I mean, we don't get any feedback really in terms of what's happening on our behalf.
Yeah.
Okay, are we good?
Ask two questions.
Sorry, Councillor Noon.
Mr. Donnelly, the first one is, was the Governor's arm advised of the pending prosecution? Because I can recall receiving an email from Mr. Keller, probably I'm thinking about October or something like that.
Yeah, policy is that we do advise councillors, I believe, via email once the charging documents are laid and have gone through the court.
Same question, did you follow the policy in regards to this matter, the current policy that we have?
Well, whether there's a written policy, it's more of the practice has been that with regard to once a prosecution's been through court, we haven't gone back out, we haven't had a policy or practice to notify councillors, and we haven't gone out into the media because usually the media have done that themselves.
The only reason I asked those two questions is because I think the remarks are a little bit pointed, and I just feel that we set the policy, and okay, if the policy is fairly loose at the moment, that we need to address that.
So exactly right. So ideally an outcome from this report at the next committee, whenever it's debated, will, you know, ideally there's a draft policy in there in terms of whatever it is, how we communicate, with the enforcement to our governance arm. Yeah?
So will it be in the next committee round, will it?
There seems to be a lot going on. What do you think? What should I call you? Ms. Gardner?
Mrs. is fine.
Mrs. Gardner.
look, I think I'll take advice from Mr. Donnelly on that because it's probably going to take a little while to pull things together. And also... it would be great if I could just have a little extra time, because
yeah.
I'd rather come back to you once with something that's really well considered
yeah.
than come back to you with something that's, you know, not had enough time to be a decent job. So perhaps if we could delay until the next committee, I'd appreciate it.
Whenever you're able, I think it's reasonable. Do we need a motion?
Can I just have those two basic questions that I think still need to be answered that won't take 3 months to hear? And they are, what are the principles that were talked about that drive the ORC
yeah.
in terms of its prosecutions? It was put in front of the court. I'm still sitting here as a governance member unaware of them and being told I can't hear it for another 3 months. It's crazy. And the second one was, what were the costs, the legal costs for this particular action, given that it has already been said, informally I admit, but at a regional council meeting, that they were significant in this case and may have been more than the judgment. I mean, those are not hard questions to ask.
Well, I think to be fair, I had actually asked that a legal person would be here, but our legal person's not here yet, for whatever reason. I don't think the council's in a position to answer that, whether that question is a reasonable one or not, but I think the council is undertaking to answer it and as diligently, as quickly as it possibly can. So I, with respect, how about we leave it at that? They're reasonable questions. We'll come back with an answer. And do we need a motion? What do you think?
It's minuted.
You've got it as an action?
Yeah.
I think we're good. Okay. Thank you, Councillor Laws. Thank you, other councillors, for your for raising this important matter. So let's. There was a recommendation at the end that this report be received. Do we have a move for that, please? Councillor Hooper, seconder. Yes. Councillor Nairn, I'll put the motion. Those for, aye, against, carried. Thank you. The next report is a report on Resource Content Building Activity by Marion Weaver. There was a public notification, one there, to place a pontoon and occupy the CMA at Vauxhall. Golf hole in one, that'll be interesting. Limited notification, so there's eight being processed. Objections, there's two applications where a cost being objected to. The Kyburn application of deemed permit replacement, reporting back was required by the end of last year, but that has been extended to about today. There's an interesting graph I saw, you know, just down the bottom there, Appendix 2 on page 15, and a graph shows the summary of consents applied for and decided over the time period from 91 to 2017, so actually since the council started. So basically the number of consents is basically where it was when it first kicked off, and it spiked at 1200 and it's down to just above a third. So Councillor Neil, in terms of, you know, hearings and so forth, that's some type of explanation. And I would be interested maybe in the future, Tanya, you know, maybe a graph that break it down to the public notifications. Because, you know, from a, like we go through training as councillors and others in terms of hearing commissioners, and, you know, how's it trending? Are we not needed? And we'll do something else, you know. I'd be interested to see that graph. Any comments, Councillor Val?
Yeah, not about the graphs, but about Kyburn. I just wanted to know whether, as soon as we know what that result is, whether we can get formally told. It's pretty close to my heart, that one.
Yeah.
And if it's out tonight, it would be nice to know too.
So that's to you, Tanya?
Noted.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Robson.
Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate what you said about public notification or not,
yeah.
and the trends in consent. Yeah, interesting. I was thinking about that myself, and whether what we used to do reflects more of an attitude towards public notification, or whether there's something else going on
yeah.
or not.
I wonder.
I'm not
too.
Sure how we get to the bottom of that, but I do think we need to discuss it as well at some point. Why have we got not so many non-notified?
Yeah.
And I think there was a bit of an informal, again, policy before that, when in doubt, public notify. And that whether that attitude shifted slightly or whether there's something else going on. So I'll leave that with this one to think about how we could appropriately think about that.
That was exactly. So we've got that graph. another grab, you know, breaking it down and some explanation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mr. Chairman, well, unless I've missed something, that's all consents applied for.
Yeah.
Not just publicly notified. Yeah. And that's, so, you know, there's been a huge drop-off on consents. Full
stop. Exactly. But within that, we're asking, can you break it down as well? And because you might even find that the public notifications used to be 20% and now of the total, and now it might be 5%. And so why is that?
Incorrect. And therefore, belabor the fact, it may well be that it's not even worth having councillors as trained commissioners and only using outside commissioners because there's going to be so few needed.
Maybe.
The reality is that's what's actually happening. Mm. Okay, look, I think we're good, aren't we? So there was, unless there's any further comment, what's the recommendation on this guide? That the report be noted. Do we have a mover?
Yes.
Councillor Deeker, a seconder. Councillor Hope, I'll put the motion. Those four?
Aye.
Aye. Against? Carried. Thank you. And the final report, look, this is water and dam permit renewal. Just about all of this was actually said in the communications report, Sian. Look, there's various meetings going on. We're emphasising the group approach. In fact, there was a good letter to the editor by Jeff Crutchley recently advocating that and all that. It talks about in the manual hair care meetings we need to do better. It talks about the website fish and flow portal work that we're doing and the supporting. And I think that is about it. But we actually need to look at that report just in terms of there's a lot of sameness about it. Mm. There it is. The recommendation is what? That the report be noted.
Can I just ask one question?
Yeah.
Quickly. I'm not sure we're appropriate or not, but anyhow, I'll try. The arrow there.
Give it a go.
The arrow there. Has there been anything about the Troy Burn Tributary discussed with that? Is that part of that arrow deemed permit renewal? Does it come into it? Because both Council Laws and I have had emails from the Arrowtown Golf Club with regards to Sir Russell Coates' new dam that's taking away the water out of that tributary. The take isn't getting anything, which the golf course down below is the line of water, and I just wondered whether that ties into that or not.
Who's going to answer that question?
Yeah, I can talk about through the chair. That matter's been handed on to our compliance team, who are looking at it now. So
just quickly through the chair, are we able to get a report back through you, Scott, with regards to what the compliance people have come up with, just so we know how it's been handled?
Yep, through the chair. You certainly, once it's completed.
Yeah. And so there's a few examples in terms of that communication thing again. But once it's completed, once staff have done what they need to do. Are we good?
Thank you.
Okay, so the recommendation is... Where the heck is the recommendation? The report is noted. Mm-hmm. Who wants to move that? Councillor Robinson, seconded Councillor Hope. I'll put the motion. Those four?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. I'll close today's meeting of the Rectory Committee. Thank you.